Now, this is interesting because I want you to go in your Bible to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. Now, here's where a lot of your MacArthurism, and a lot of you don't know what I'm speaking about there, some of you do. John MacArthur out of California is probably ruined more preachers than anybody I know of. He has a work salvation. He says he doesn't, but he does. And he uses the roundabout way. In other words, if you say you're a Christian and you don't have works, you're not really a Christian. So that's what he says. And anyway, he uses this here, that if you want to be saved, you have to make Christ Lord of your life. Even Billy Graham comes out with this, make Christ Lord of all. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. That's one of the most damnable little cliches put out by evangelists that you can possibly find. We have a hard enough time after Christians have been saved for a lengthy period of time to make Christ Lord and allow the Lord to control their life. You never have to make Christ Lord as far as submitting yourself to the Lordship and allowing Christ and saying, Dear Lord, anything you want me to do, I will do, and I will make you Lord of my life and trust that in order for you to be saved. You do not have to do that. That, again, is you doing something or you making a promise or something for salvation, and it falls on dead ears with God because he knows, first of all, you're not going to keep that. There's never been a Christian who has. Is there anybody here that's made promises to God and has never failed in one promise at all of any kind? Anybody daring enough to say that? None of us. You're saved because you receive what is already done for you upon the cross of Calvary, and it was complete when Christ said it's finished. Since he finished paying for your sin and God accepted his payment because he was raised for our justification, he now, who bought your right to go to heaven, offers to you a free salvation, absolutely free, on one condition, that you take it for nothing, believing he did that for you. That's the only way you get salvation. If you think making a promise or you coming to the front of the church and coming down the aisle or praying the sinner's prayer, I remember that, in fact, I said this some time back. I said, there was a fellow said about leading somebody to Christ, and he said, I just told him to pray this simple prayer. And the point is, I've had this said several times, and I've said, well, where in the Bible does it say you pray this simple prayer? I don't know anywhere in the Bible it says pray a simple prayer. The whole text of going to heaven is not praying any prayer. But the problem is, Christ said, it's finished. I went to the cross so you could go to heaven. I did everything that you couldn't do because you're a sinner. So me being not a sinner, I went to the cross and I paid for your sins. It's completely paid for. It is finished. It's done. It's tetelestai. No more can be added. Nothing you can do will make me give you eternal life. I paid for it completely, and I will give it to you if you take it for nothing. Because for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now let's get over to Romans 10, 9, and 10. I want to show you what they do with this. I was talking to a man from New Ulm. Happens to be a friend of Bob's mother and father's out there. And he is a staunch MacArthurite that believes you have to make Christ Lord of your life. You've got to promise him that you're going to serve him the rest of your life or you can't be saved. And here's the verse that he used, and used incorrectly, and did not like it when I told him how he used the verse incorrectly, and I'm going to relate it to you, how it will be used to you incorrectly, and how that you're going to straighten it out so it's not used incorrectly. Do you find? Follow me. And we'll go through that again. Romans 10, 9, and 10. I can't remember how I did it anyways. I can't go through it. Okay, Romans 10, 9, and 10. Here's what they say. In verse 9, if thou believe, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now here's what they say concerning that verse. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, other words, they say, you've got to confess him as Lord of your life, because it says, Lord Jesus. Now, they also come back and say, many of the old manuscripts say this. Now, you want to write this down, what many of the old manuscripts say. Doesn't it say in the old manuscripts, Pastor Younce, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord? Now, write that down, because that's how they state it, and that's how a lot of the manuscripts have it. If you shall confess Jesus with thy mouth, Jesus as Lord. So they come back and say, you see, you've got to confess that Jesus is going to be Lord of your life. It's not talking about that. When you confess Jesus as Lord, Lord is the Greek word kurios, which is equivalent to God of the Old Testament or Adonai of the Old Testament. And what you're confessing is, which goes right along with John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, and Acts chapter 17, verse 3, and John chapter 10, you're confessing. Now, here is how the verse is properly interpreted according to how it's written in a lot of the old manuscripts. Here we go. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, literally should be, confess that Jesus as God, that Jesus is God. Remember John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31? Many other signs truly did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus, humanity, is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Jesus, humanity, is Christ, the anointed one, deity, which is the same equivalence here. If we confess with the mouth that Jesus is Lord, we're confessing, now you got to remember this is written to the Jews here, that Jesus is God in human flesh, and that's exactly why they wanted to stone Christ in John chapter 10, because they said, not for good works are we going to stone you, but because of blasphemy, because you claim to be God. Isn't that right? So for the Jew to confess that Jesus is Lord or God meant you're saved now because you believe that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. Do you understand what we're saying? So when they come back with you with this verse here, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as the Lord, it's not talking about confessing that you're going to make him Lord of your life. You're confessing that Jesus Christ in humanity is God in human flesh. Jesus is God in human flesh.